Blog Talk Radio.
And now, the moment you've all been waiting for.
Let's go!
The station with the
best music.
Best music.
I love the music.
Best music.
Every day I'm shuffling.
Maybach
music. We out your mind.
Vicky.
10 o'clock. Yeah. You already know.
Know what time it is, huh?
Let's go.
All we do is whip it. All she do is whip it. All we do is whip it. All she do is whip it. All we do is whip it.
Counterclockwise.
Whip it.
Number is 516-595-8305. Press 1 if you want to talk. Shout out to everybody that's listening tonight. It's going down. Yo, the chick. Damn,
you want. Stop. We break the chair.
We going back again. We going back again. Hey, we going back. Okay. Stop playing. I'm so happy. Anyway, tonight we got a very prolific Mr. Kerry Singleton. Like, what is his name again?
Who?
What's his name?
What?
Kerry Singleton? Yeah. Man, listen, y'all don't even know who it is. Anyway, if you want your music played on Behind the Scenes Radio, make sure you send your music to BehindTheScenesAirplay@gmail.com. That's Behind the Scenes Airplay at gmail.com. Make sure that you send it only. We don't take no links, no SoundClouds, no reverbs. None of that. We only take MP3. Right, Niecy?
Yes. Unless we look it up personally.
Right. And then, yeah.
I make him convert it.
Yeah. But if it's not that, then we're not doing it. Anyway, so the next track that we playing tonight, so we're going to play like maybe three tracks.
You got two more.
Two more. Because you know I love music.
Two more.
But we got Kerry. Artist that we playing is, it's my homeboy Firebird Pasco. Yeah, let go.
Yo, this your boy Kurt ENT from Behind the Scenes Radio. Make sure that you check out your boy Pasco Firebird. His newest single out right now, Lose Yourself.
My party people, we all up in the club. It's going down and I'm feeling your love. Let's get it crunk up in here. Put your hands in the air. All my ladies keep shaking it up. Cause this is the kind of vibe. If you're looking like you don't want a party, you might end up outside of the club. This is the kind of vibe. If you're looking like you don't want a party, you might end up outside of the club. I feel like I'm in a movie, yo. In the Matrix, getting groovy, yo. Ain't nobody in here looking moody, yo. So let's pop champagne and get party people, don't lose the flow. Pump your fist and live in the music, yo. You will feel better when you lose yourself. When you lose yourself. What up? Vibes amped up, cause fire's into his house. Dames looking at me like they wanna give me jizz out. So I'm singing even harder while it heads into the beat. If they was feeling for the fire, well I'm here to bring the heat. And my crew is in the cut, so you know we bring a beat down. For them haters in the club, act a fool and you get rebound. Back to the music, cause I gotta move my feet, yeah. Back to the music, cause I feel like I'm in a movie, yo. In the Matrix, getting groovy, yo. Ain't nobody in here looking moody, yo. So let's pop champagne and get boozy, yo. My party people, don't lose the flow. Pump your kiss and live in the music, yo. You will feel better when you lose yourself.
Yeah.
When you lose yourself.
Yo.
What up?
I'm surrounded by bright lights and amazing people. In the club, getting it poppin', everybody equal. What up, my party people? We here to party, let's get it started, let's go retarded. I don't want no trouble, I like the groove. Prove, I am smooth, new dude, not rude. Yes, that's my mood, old school but new. Brave, that's why they like me, cause I tell the truth. But hey, I feel like I'm in a
movie, yo. In the Matrix, getting groovy, yo. Ain't nobody in here looking moody,
nah,
yo. So let's pop champagne and get boozy,
uh-huh.
Yo. My party people, don't lose the flow.
No.
Pump your fist and live in the music, yo.
Yeah.
You will feel better when you lose yourself.
Yeah.
When you lose yourself. What up? Lose yourself.
my name.
Message to my youngest, man, cause other niggas ran when your father wasn't. Down and out, I had to rely on survival frontin'. A couple moving jobs passed down by my older cousin in frontin', still acting like shit was good when it really wasn't. Cause when you give your heart to the world, they don't give you nothing. They play the game like they want you ahead, and when you do it, they bite your back and they line you up like it's nothing to it. They bite your back and they line you up like it's nothing to it. No excuses. I was born with a twin, but really alone. I've been renting this crib for months, but it still don't feel like a home without my babies. I see you in traffic, feel like a stranger, but it's my fault. I look at your mother and I can't blame her. I was distant, too worried about slinging shit in the trenches. The greatest feeling in the world is a father's honorable mention. Can I get it? I feel like I'm striving just to get back, and we dropping like dominoes because all we know is the trap. Just relax. Breathing in just to breathe it out on the track. I done been where it ain't safe with them Desert Eagles and Max, but I was never deserving of this. Could never explain the creation, how perfect you is. The selling, I'm getting. It's priceless, can't purchase this shit. That's why 24 hours you see daddy working and shit. I thank God for the internet so these fellas can get immortalized. To say I was perfect to my babies, that'd be more than lies. Wiping this cortisone, tending my eczema covered skin. Praying my pigment to never get me booked up again. But it probably will. But just in case the next trip is long, that shoebox is getting filled. Still stuck in it, cause rapping ain't working out. Cause niggas don't give it up like they should when it's word of mouth. To say that I was sorry, but never knew what life was about. Playing Nintendo, thinking that it was thorough not to pull out. I promised to never hurt you, but did it several times. I just wanna tell you, don't be accepting the niggas' lies. That you a queen and the creator delivered you from the sky. And I promise to be here for you until the day that I die, cause I love you.
Yeah, this your boy, Kurt E&T, Behind the Scenes Radio. The number is 516-595-8305 with my lover slash co-host slash...
I know.
We've been through a lot.
Yeah. Okay, Carrie, waiting.
So tonight... we got Carrie. Carrie Singleton, born March 24th, 1972. He's an American novelist and internet radio show host. His debut novel, The Wanderer's Game, chronicled the story of an inspiring young actor who falls into the world of male prostitution. The critically acclaimed book was published in 2013 and was adapted into a Broadway theater production in 2015 by playwright Pearline Alexander. Singleton is also producer and host of the Carrie Corner Radio Show, a syndicated program based in New York City. He was born in Massachusetts. Wait, hold on.
Anyway, he's an author, a host of a radio show, a host of a TV show, the one, the only, Carrie D. Singleton.
Hey, what's up, you guys? How are you? Can you hear me?
Yes,
hello?
We can.
Oh, great. Thank you for having me on the show tonight. Thank you very much. What up? Hello?
So, yes, we're here, Carrie.
And of course, I'm sorry, you guys. Can you hear me?
Yeah, we can hear you.
Okay. Yeah, I was saying, I thought I had the mute button on myself, and I really apologize for that call. And anyway, I told everybody that I was not accepting any calls after 10 o'clock p.m. Eastern, 9 p.m. Central, because I was going to be on the hottest show on Blog Talk Radio. So thank you guys so much for having me. I really appreciate it. My action figure and I are excited about this.
Hey, I have to. You know, I actually made a joke, and I said we need to ask him, is he watching his doll or playing with his action figure?
Yeah, so my action figure is sitting on the shelf, but he is watching, and he just, huh, what did you say? Okay, he said, tell Nisi I said hello, is what he just told me.
Yeah.
He also told me to tell you, Nisi, that he's a man, which makes him an action figure and not a doll, because he's smooth like Carrie Lotion. So, but anyway, thank you guys for having me. I had the pleasure of having you guys on the Carrie's Corner Radio Show last week. It was dope. Definitely can't wait for you guys to come back. And I'm just excited to be able to talk to you guys again. So again, thank you for having me on the show.
Thank you for doing what you're doing for us, Carrie. So my first question to you is, what inspires you? Like, what makes you do what you... Now, listen, we can curse on my show, so what the fuck makes you do what the fuck you do, Carrie? Like what...
Well,
I'm
going to keep it clean because my mother might be listening, so I personally... But, you know what? It's really life, bro. It's being alive and doing what I moved to New York City almost 25 years ago to do, which is, you know, this music industry thing. So that's what inspires me, to be completely honest with you. And I know, Curtis, you're probably going to ask me a lot of personal questions, and I'm prepared for that. I got my bottle of water. I'm ready. So, yeah, like, I'm inspired by just being alive. Every day that I wake up, you know, I'm inspired to keep pushing the envelope and putting the needle on the turntable. You know what I'm saying? And quite frankly, also, you know, 3 years of being incarcerated back in the early 2000s, that is a lot of inspiration. You know, I feel like I wasted, you know, 3 years of my life behind bars. You know, and I'm inspired every day to continue to push forward to, I guess, try to make up for that time. You really can't make up for time lost, but I try.
Yeah. Do you, so care, do you have any kids or you, like do you have a significant other or anything?
Wow, huh? You get right on into it, huh? Yeah, I do have one son. You met him at the radio station last week.
It was the doll, Curtis. It was the doll.
Well, that's as close as it's going to get. No, I don't have any real children. The kid that I'm talking about is an action figure slash doll that Niecy wants. Why is the phone ringing like this? Yeah. So yeah, I mean. No, I don't have any kids. I don't have a significant other. My job at the radio show and with the TV show and with the magazine, that is both my children and my significant other. I am married to my business, I guess. Sad, I know, but it is what it is.
So how did you get into the magazine? Like, how did that all get started?
With Intrigue Magazine, and shout out to the publisher, Dwayne Butler, and Greg and Mike, our entire Intrigue Magazine family. Actually, they interviewed me, I want to say back in 2016, maybe. They actually interviewed me. At the time, I was, you know, I had a TV show that I don't really like to talk about because it was whack. I shouldn't say that. It was short-lived. It was called the Kerry's Corner TV Show. And we were doing an episode where I go back home to Boston, Massachusetts, and you know, and my favorite pizza shop and hanging out with my old friends, that type of thing, right? And Intrigue Magazine actually came up to Boston with us. They covered the whole trip with the TV show, and we became really, really cool after that, man. And they asked me to write a column every issue called the Kerry's Corner column, where basically I would write about a particular guest that had been on the show. And then after that, they asked me to be the vice president. In 2016, I became the vice president, I believe. And then in 2018, maybe, they named me president of the magazine. So my role is to basically handle all of the business, make sure the articles are tight, you know, get sponsors and make sure that people know that the magazine exists. So I'm basically the face of the magazine at this point, and it's great because I'm a writer, so of course I like journalism, and it's dope to be able to, you know, get stories and share them. So
how did you get into journalism and
writing, man? I always wanted to write, man. I went to college right after high school in 1991. I would say that I'm saying my age, but you already did that. Thanks, Curtis.
Nice.
Thank you for telling the entire. No, I'm not ashamed of my age. I'm going to be 49 years old in March, and you know, I'm good with that. A lot of people don't make it to 49, so yeah. But I think I wanted to be a journalist. I wanted to, when I was in Boston, I wanted to write for the New York Times, or the New York Post, or the New York Daily News. It was definitely New York. I was definitely not staying in Boston. I knew that I did not want to spend the rest of my life there at a very young age. So I went to journalism. I went to school, studied journalism, but I kind of felt like I didn't really want to, like, you know, have a microphone in somebody's face while their guts are, you know, in the street. And that's, you know, when you're in the press, it's all about getting that story by any means necessary. And I kind of learned that that's the ultimate goal of any journalist, is to get that story. And I was like, well, you know, I don't know if I could be willing to do that. If somebody just got shot, or they just found out that their family member was burnt in a fire, the first thing that I want to do is get a story. I didn't know if I was built for that. And then at the same time, I had an opportunity to work with Arista Records. So I was promoting like Tony Braxton's first record, Usher's first record, TLC's first record, a lot of big artists that were on Bad Boy and LaFace and Rowdy Records back in the day. I got that job and I was like, journalism, I'm good. So I kind of just veered away from it and jumped into the music game early. So
I'm sorry.
There was a very weird echo going on. I don't know if you can hear that, but
like, well, Blog Talk, they'll fix everything by the time it's put out.
Gotcha.
Yeah, I'm just now realizing, like, basically, like, I'm living your life. Not like your life, but it's so, like, you're a promoter. That's crazy. Right.
Yeah, you and I are the same zodiac sign. We have a lot of parallels. And when I initially reached out to you, I was excited about meeting you. And, of course, I did my research as well. Not a whole lot. I just kind of felt like your personality would probably tell the story. And, you know, like, we got to meet in Philadelphia, it seems like forever ago, but that was only like a week ago, or a week and some change ago. And, like, we kind of had this real cosmic connection, which was pretty dope. So yeah, we have a lot in common, including the fact that you like to steal my quotes off of Facebook, but that's another story.
Wait, Terry, don't feel bad. He steals everybody. He'll steal my post. And when he says it, once he does it, it's no longer your post. It's our post.
Curtis, I want you. Curtis, you know what I want you to do, brother? I want you to Google a word that's very important for every journalist and radio and media personality to know. It's plagiarism. Google that word, my Aries brother. And you like and you love Maxes. I mean, we have almost everything in common.
I love Maxes.
But we have a lot in common.
Yes. So
shout out to Maxes, although I cheated on them. I now go to Gilbin's. Sorry, Maxes. I needed a cleaner grill and nicer people, so I went to Northwest Philly for my sandwiches.
Keeping it trail.
Hey, it is what it is. I went from Erie Avenue to Stenton Avenue, and it is what it is. But I cheated on Max's because I got tired of being, you know, their food is delicious, but their personality is not so tasty. It's spicy, but it ain't tasty.
True.
But shout out to Max's.
Next question. When you and your homie had just moved to New York, and what was the most bottomless thing you ever had to eat? I gotta ask you these type of questions, because you were everything, so, you know what I mean? Like, I want to get the grit and the creamy. I really want to know.
Yeah, that's cool. I'm about that life. I'm gonna answer anything that you ask. Almost. So when me and my best friend moved to New York in September of 1996. I had a job at a record label called Palm Tree Records, and he had a job at Funkoland, which was like a video game store. I don't even know if it exists anymore. So we lived in Bushwick, which was a trashy Brooklyn neighborhood. I mean, literally, we would walk by people in vacant lots rubbing their hands over fire, shooting out of a trash can, like that real gritty New York story. That was my introduction to being a resident of New York. We were broke as hell. We shared one bed in a rooming house in a building where the landlord did didn't even believe in heat, I guess. even though his own, he lived in the building. He lived in the house on the first floor, him and his wife. But heat, I guess, was a luxury he couldn't afford. And so we had to, like, sleep with a whole bunch of blankets. Like, it was weird. Like, you know, that's my best friend and my brother, and I love him. But I didn't want to sleep with him. You know what I mean? Like, it wasn't that type of party. But the as far as food, so we used to have to go to this chicken spot at the corner of Broadway and Gates Avenue, next to the train station that we lived next to, two blocks away in Brooklyn. And we would order the if you asked me this question 5 years ago, I wouldn't have answered it. But I'm a lot more transparent now. We used to order a meal which consisted of a fried chicken breast, fried chicken wing, one of each, some fries and a soda, and we would split everything down the middle, literally. So we would actually get two cups and split it, you know, split the breast, split the wings, split the fries. And one day, I'll never forget this woman that was serving us the food. You know, we didn't do that every day. That was like, you know, I guess when payday wasn't close. You know, we didn't know nothing about food stamps or nothing back then. So she said, "Baby, are y'all all right?" And we were like, "We're fine." And she was like, come on over here. And she gave me my own meal. I think I forgot the biscuit. Yeah, we used to split the biscuit too. So, you know, it was rough for a little while, maybe a couple of months, no more than that. After that, you know, things got better. But yeah, that was the grimiest. That was the. But I mean, you know what, man? Like we were just happy to be in New York. We weren't balling by any stretch of the imagination. But when stuff got really rough like that, we were freezing, listening to our battery operated radio. We would ask each other, "Well, do we want to move back to Boston?" And immediately the answer was no. So we stuck it out. Yeah.
Can't go back.
So how did you get your idea? Yes, how did you get your idea for your book? Made into a Broadway play.
Okay, so The Wanderer's Game is an interesting story. I shared that with you guys in private, but I'll share it with your audience as well. So the Wanderer's Game is a book about a young kid from Asbury Park, New Jersey, who all he wants to do in life is be an actor. That's his dream, you know. So he gets a gig in New York City. Well, he gets a manager, I should say. He moves to New York, gets a manager. The manager gets him a role in a porno flick. He flips. That's not what he wants to do. And he certainly didn't want to do an all-male porno flick. So he, of course, decides he's not doing it. He fires his manager. But while he was at the casting for that particular role, he met another young person. They become best friends. And they end up becoming male prostitutes. So each of them have girlfriends that don't know that they're having sex with other men for money. And they travel across the country from city to city, you know, doing strange things for change or, you know, whatever they call it. And it's fiction. How did I get inspired? A lot of people have asked me, "Oh, Kerry, was that your story?" No. No, no, no. But when I moved to New York, I had friends that did that. You know, in one case, I had a roommate that did that. And so he would tell me about his sexcapades. And then I just, you know, I knew a lot of different people. You know, when you live in New York City, especially when I moved here in the 90s, you know, and people were hustling. You know, people was doing what they could to make ends meet. You know, not everybody was selling drugs. Not everybody was, you know, whatever. There were different hustles and people did different things. And I was exposed to a lot of stuff. So I wanted to write about it because I thought it was something that was, not talked about. You know, when you think of prostitution, you usually think of women on street corners with garter belts and half naked, but it's a lot more to it than that, I learned, you know. And so that's the story that I wanted to put out for my first book. I was nervous about putting that out and then having to explain to people. You know, people would ask me at book signings, "So what's your book about?" And I was like, I'd always be like, "Oh, could you just read the back?" They'd be like, "No, I want you to tell me, if you want me to buy the book, tell me what it's about." And I'd always be real apprehensive about having to explain to people, particularly other black males, well, and also black sisters. You know, I'd be like, damn, they're going to, like, shun me or think it's about me. But, you know, it did well. It was an Amazon 5-star seller. And then Alve Perline is her real name, but Alve Alexander approached me maybe 2 years after the book came out and asked me if she could do a play. And I was like, hell yeah. And that was dope, man. To see your book turn into a live play with actors and they're acting out the scenes. You know, and it was on Broadway. It wasn't even an off-Broadway play. It was an on-Broadway play, and it was sold out. And it was a dope experience. I'll never forget that. So, yeah, shout out to Alve for bringing her first book to life on the Broadway stage. Yeah, you can see it on YouTube, by the way. The Wanderers Game stage play is on YouTube. You can just look it up.
Kerry Singleton. Let's take a music break real quick. Kerry, you still going to stick with us, right? We got
absolutely
more.
I'm here for the ride, brother.
All right, so we're going to take a quick music break real quick. This is JT Fell in Love on Behind the Scenes Radio. The number is 516-595-8305. Press 1 if you want to talk. Kerry Singleton! What? Oh, behind the scenes right now. Let's go.
Thank you.
I love it.
We bumped the best artist
in the universe.
I see.
Behind the scenes.
Got some great playlists going on. Shout out to all the artists whose music you played, and I wish them all the best. Great music.
Niecy has a question for you.
Okay.
When you moved to New York.
Mm-hmm. Yes. What'd you say?
When you moved to New York, what scared you the most?
Oh, nothing, because I wasn't a stranger to the city, so I didn't just move there on the fly. Before I moved to New York, I mean, I'm from Boston. It's only like, 4 hours away. And I had family that lived in the suburbs, and I had my godbrothers that lived in the Bronx. And so I was in New York probably, quite honestly, maybe every week. The closer it came to me to the day that my best friend and I moved to New York, I was probably in the city like every week, certainly twice a month. So, I mean, I was always familiar with the subways. The subways, didn't intimidate me. I knew all the stations and all the lines before I even moved there. New York was definitely not a foreign place. I mean, I didn't go to school there. I didn't grow up there. But I spent enough time in the boroughs to know the ins and outs. There probably wasn't a major street that you could name that I wasn't familiar with. I always felt at home here. Way before I moved here, I felt New York was definitely destined to be my home, so I wasn't the least bit uncomfortable. There was no butterflies, nothing. I think the only thing that, if you're asking me what scared me, was the idea of living on my own, because to be clear, I didn't move. I moved from my mother's house directly to Brooklyn. So it's not like I moved, from my mother's house and then, like, had my own place in Boston. No, I moved from my mother's house directly to Brooklyn. One day I was living in Roxbury, and my bed was, in my bedroom in my mother's house. And the very next day, I was in Brooklyn.
And how old were you?
So I was afraid of the concept of, if I don't pay my rent, I get evicted. if I don't wash my clothes, they don't get washed. That was a little, hard, sort of. But I mean, my best friend was with me too, so we were experiencing it together, and it was adventurous and fun. And I don't remember. Now, I certainly know for a fact that there was not one day, and there still has not been one day, that I ever even thought remotely about moving back to Boston. Like, that is a dub. That was never a thought.
So how old were you when you moved from your mother's house to your own?
24. I was 24 years old. Thanks.
I'm the same exact age as you. For a guy, that's kind of old.
Well, I mean, I didn't really... living with mom wasn't a problem. We got along, we've always been best friends. The problem was living in Boston. Like, I hated Boston more than I could ever express to you. It was just, I hated that place. Hated it. And then in 1996, my father was murdered. The day before Father's Day, my father was murdered maybe a half a mile from my house. So that was kind of like, that was kind of like it for me. Like, 1996 was a bad year. My father was murdered. A lot of other stuff took place as well. And by the time fall rolled around, I was like, I got to get out of here. Because if I don't leave Boston, I'm going to end up dead or in jail myself, I felt. Because it was just a place that I really hated to the point where I had to get out of there. I felt like it wasn't healthy for me to wake up every morning saying, I hate this place. And that's what was happening. Every morning I was miserable because I was living in Boston, a place I was born and raised in. So no, there wasn't any fear. It was an extraordinary feeling of relief and, emancipation. That's what the hell I felt.
Yeah.
I could not wait to get the hell out of there. In fact, I felt I moved too late. But, whatever. Things happen when they're supposed to.
on a personal level, something everybody really wouldn't know about Kerry D. Singleton. What is the one thing you're scared of?
I can't say rats because everybody knows that. One thing that I'm afraid of that nobody knows or very few people know that I'm afraid of. So most people know that I'm terrified of rodents. Many people know that I'm terrified of roller coasters. The concept of God, the concept of being buried in Boston. That's pretty frightening. I've always said, if something happens to me, don't take me back up there.
Like
I'll haunt the hell out of you.
Like you, you hate Boston that much? You don't even want to be buried there. Like, I'm from Kansas, and
they
want
to take your body right back to Boston and bury you.
Yep, you know they are.
and whoever's responsible for that, I will haunt the hell out of them. I promise. No, it just wasn't like, you know, just I was born and raised there, yes. But I was not happy there. You know, I did not like the social makeup of the city. I did not like the political makeup of the city. I did not like to me it was very depressing, especially for black people, that wanted to do anything with themselves in the arts. It was a place that was very much the crab in the barrel mentality. You know, nobody wanted to see the next person shine because, you know, they felt like that would, you know, put shade on their spotlight. You know, I love my mother and my family and my friends, but I don't miss that place at all. And anybody that knows me will tell you that. You know, no, I don't. I am where I should have always been. Maybe not specifically Staten Island, but, you know, New York City has always been the place that I wanted to be in, and I'm here, so, you know.
Is New Edition the only famous group out of Boston?
No.
Or famous out of Boston?
You've had Donna Summer, who was a distant relative of mine, who was, of course, the queen of disco. She was born and raised in the same section of Boston that I was raised and born in. You have New Edition, except for Johnny Gill, of course. He's from Washington, D.C. You had the New Kids on the Block are from Boston. In terms of rappers, you had, well, RSO is from Boston. You had not too many. I mean, the city has its fair share of famous people, but not, you know, not like Philadelphia or Los Angeles or New York City or even Atlanta for that matter. I mean, you have, you know, a couple of people that have made names for themselves, but I think most notably would be Donna Summer, New Edition, and New Kids on the Block, in terms of music anyway. You have Ed OG as well, but I mean, you know, in terms of any
Marky
real
Mark.
Measurable... Yeah, well, Marky Mark was part of New Kids on the Block. You know, but any real measurable success, New Edition, Donna Summer, New Kids on the Block. Those are the three musical names that come to mind.
So Marky Mark was part of New Kids on the Block?
Well, he's related to the... Yeah, I think so.
But he's not part of them.
Well,
that
I
was
wasn't a
brother.
Fan, so... Okay, well, whatever.
That was his brother.
I don't know. See, you know better than me. I wasn't a fan of New Kids on the Block like that, so I don't... You know.
I wasn't either. I like Marky Mark, but my sister liked New Kids on the Block, so...
Oh, okay. So there you go.
So, what is the hardest thing about writing
and putting together a book?
Nothing for me. I mean, that's kind of like second nature. I wanted to be a writer since I was 9. I remember there was a writing contest in the Boston Herald. That's like the so the Boston Globe would be the conservative paper, and the Herald was the more liberal paper. So the Boston Herald had a contest where kids could submit poems or other writings to the newspaper around Halloween of whatever year that was. I guess it was 81. My math is terrible, but yeah, 81. And they picked certain people or certain kids' writings to put in their newspaper. So my poem for Halloween that year was one of the poems that they picked. And I still remember seeing my name, Kerry Singleton, age 9, from Roxbury, and some poem that I wrote, some Halloween poem that I wrote called Boo and Simon Sue. I still remember the name of it. I couldn't recite it, so please don't ask me to. But, that was kind of like, when you're 9 years old and you see your name in the newspaper, and I was kind of like, oh, this is for me. So I decided at 9 years old that I want to be a writer and a subway driver and an architect and a bus driver and probably something else, who knows. But, writing has been the one consistent dream I've always had. So for me, there's nothing difficult about it. Maybe taking the time to do it, but most of my books and poems were written while I was incarcerated. So I had plenty of time, nothing but time, to write those books.
Niecy actually writes. Well, she's writing a story about her life, and like the journey that we went on. Remember that I took you all on that little spot where it kind of like starts. Well, does it start there? The night before. Yeah, it starts the night before that place where we had took you all to. And
okay.
From yes. And, yo, I would like for, well, I don't know. I think you should check out the little book that Niecy's putting together, because it's really nice, and I really like it. And I think that you would be inspired by it. I really do.
I think that everybody has a story. Not everybody can write a story, but everybody has a story. And the time that I spent with you and DC in Philadelphia with my assistant, Keith Vaughn, she and Julia Robertson, she and I talked, and I got a lot of, I got a lot out of what DC did say and what she did not say, because I'm pretty good at reading between the lines. And I felt like, you know, the sister has definitely a story that needed to be told, one that I definitely would read, and one that I think a lot of people would be interested in reading. So I definitely, think that you should push that project, Niecy. I think you definitely should tell your story. I think it could be successful, but I also think it could be very therapeutic for you. One of the reasons that I wrote poems in jail, well, the main reason that I wrote poems in jail was because that was the way that I escaped all the stuff that I was seeing around me. I didn't smoke, I didn't drink, and I didn't lift weights. So I wrote, you know, when something bothered me, when I saw something that hurt me, when I experienced something that hurt me, I would go back and put it on paper, and it was like an escape. I think that you're writing a story about your own experiences, and I know at least what some of them were based on what I saw and what we talked about when I was in Philly. That's, you need to do that, because that's a way of archiving it, and that's a way of telling the story. It, for one, again, like I said, it's very therapeutic for the author. And then it helps other people, you know, that have experienced the same thing or maybe on the verge of experiencing, you know, whatever things you experienced. I'm sure there's a lot of different stories within your story, and I think they should all be shared.
Pushing it since I kind of stopped writing. I think I wrote like a chapter or two, and then I kind of just
mm-hmm.
like put it on the shelf.
No, it's not easy. I wrote my life story while I was locked up. I mean, I don't know when or if that book will come out because I wrote like four or five different books, and two of them have been released, and they did well. They're not about me. And then the third one is a collection of poems that are all about me, well, all but one. I don't know if I have the courage to put my own book out, but I will say this to you. It was not, of all the books I wrote, that was the hardest. It's hard to relive.
Yeah, it is. It pulls up a lot of emotions and stuff that you're not mm-hmm. really ready for. At that moment.
You may think you're ready, but once you start thinking about it, you realize, damn, I don't wanna do this. I finished mine, I think. It's mostly finished. But will I ever release it? I don't know. For one, I don't have the guts to do that right now.
When I started writing it, I was in the moment, so it was like happening, chronicalizing it right then and there, and then it kind of like got a little better. So once it got a little better, it kind of moved away from those emotions. So,
right.
Yeah, it's been on the shelf for a couple of years.
But you know what? You'll come back to it. You'll come back to it when the time is right. You'll come back to it when you're ready. And just that's it. It's just that simple. When you're ready, you'll finish it. And it probably should not be forced. It should not come out until you're ready to tell your story.
I've been shared what I did write with certain people and
mm-hmm.
certain people who happen to be on television.
Mm-hmm.
So I have gotten some feedback, and most of it has been positive. I just haven't really got the
courage.
Yeah, the kind of face those emotions.
That's what I'll be pushing, just to face the courage and, like, just keep on pushing. I'd be having to be on her ass about it. So, but that's my job.
Yeah, but in all due time, though, you can't. Something like that needs to be, like I said, needs to be done when the time is right. Not a second or a day before.
So, Carrie, what can we? No, wait, hold on, because I want to talk about that, though. To put a whole piece on it, not only does he have a Broadway play, but it's also also. Am I correct about that?
How is he listening?
I can't hear you. What'd you say?
Because you have the Broadway play, you have one, because I remember you just spoke about it. You said that you have two stories that you already put out, and then you have another one that, well, the two stories that you already put out, those were the Broadway plays, and then you also have that on tape or CD, right?
Okay, so, no, I have two novels. The first one is called The Wanderer's Game. That came out in 2013. That was my first book. That became a Broadway play 2 years later, written, directed, and produced by Alve Alexander. I didn't produce it. I didn't write it. I didn't fund it. It's just the play that Alve, who is a very good friend of mine, she wrote a play based on my book. Again, you can watch it on YouTube. It's called The Wanderer's Game Stage Play. It's in three parts, and it's on YouTube. So then in 2016, I released my second book, which is called Idol. And then in 2020, last year, I released a poetry book. So The poetry book is called Journey the Poems. It's a book of 30 different poems that I wrote while I was, mostly while I was locked up. Not all of them, but most of them. And all of them except for one is about me or things that I've experienced. So the Journey poetry book, which again came out last year, is made up of 30 poems. Five of those poems I recorded in Philadelphia, as a matter of fact. Jermaine Quick is a dope producer and a filmmaker from Philly, and his company, Illidel Styles, is produced five audio poems from the Journey book. So five of those poems, you know, I recorded them in his studio with music, and we made that into a spoken word album, which will be released sometime this year. And also all five of those spoken word poems have or will have short films that will be released when the album is released. So sort of like music videos, basically. So each poem will have a film that goes along with it to promote it. So one is already done. It's called The Wanderer's Game, which is the same name as my book, which is the same name as the poem. We actually had a former porn star play the role of that particular short film, which is also on YouTube. So we have four more short films to release and put out before we put out the album, the spoken word album, this year. So yeah, I don't be playing. I'm trying to, like, use all my creative juices and get everything out there. You know, you only live once, man.
Right, I see. Like, yo, I'm on
TV,
the same
show thing. Going. You know, yeah, you gotta. You only get one ride around this rock, and you better make it count.
Hell of a motherfucking ride.
Yeah.
So you can be able to tell the story to your grandkids and your great grandkids, your great great grandkids, so that 500 years from now, somebody will know who Carrie is, Carrie Singleton.
Well, Carrie doesn't have any kids, so that would make grandkids impossible. Like, I don't know how that would work. I don't think you can have grandkids without kids. I don't know how you get around that one, but.
Well, don't know who Carrie Singleton is, though, right? We'll make sure of that.
Yeah, but I don't have no kids, though. I never wanted children. Yeah, I have an action figure, but he can't talk. And so he can't talk about my
right.
legacy. He doesn't even change right. his clothes. He can't do much. He wears the same thing every day. He's got a Kerry's Corner hoodie and some Kerry's Corner sweatpants. He don't change his clothes. No, he can't. Right, he's not real. He's, you know. Actually, I have two. I have one, the one that I brought to the radio station, and then my belated friend, Shireen Lewis, her mother made me a, that's a doll. The one that she made is a doll, and that's it. I have that. So there's two of them, actually.
Okay.
Yeah, okay. Okay, Niecy, fine. If that makes you feel better, yes, I have two dolls.
He likes, like, Niecy really likes trying
dolls?
To bully people. Right.
No, I don't like dolls. I've been a tomboy my entire life. I've never played with a doll. Never. A baby
Neither
doll.
Have I.
No. I don't even like, they would used to give me dolls. I used to throw them to the floor.
You didn't even have a My Buddy?
No, I had a Crisscross Crash.
Well, I had He-Man and She-Ra, and they were action figures. So.
The only female doll was She-Ra. That's the only female doll I played with was She-Ra. My sister had the Western Barbie and all that bull. No, She-Ra, she was a superhero. She wanted to save stuff and did stuff and didn't try to be pretty.
Yeah, I had She-Ra. Maybe I didn't have She-Ra, but I had Castle Grayskull. I had He-Man and whoever He-Man's enemy was. I mean, I was 10. I don't remember all of that. That's, you know. I know I didn't have a She-Ra. My mother wouldn't have bought me nothing like that. I guess my He-Man was single and horny because he didn't have a She-Ra, and he had a castle, and he, I don't remember. Moving, next question.
That's He-Man's sister.
Oh, that was He-Man's sister? I don't remember. I can barely remember what I had for dinner last night, okay? Well, I guess He-Man was single. I don't know, but...
How did you have a He-Man and not know that?
Because that was a gazillion years ago.
Oh my God. It's incest. That was his sister.
And on that note.
Oh,
so
well, I guess they didn't have sex.
Yo, but you know. You know there's a porno like that, right?
A who?
There's a porno where He-Man and She-Ra.
Oh, no, I'm not going to participate in that. I can't do that. That's just too much. I don't even understand how that could have happened. The dolls had sex? Oh, my. Wow.
No.
And I don't watch porn, so I don't.
Well, anyway.
I've never been big on porn.
So what we do at the end. So what we do at the end of the show, Carrie, is we do the shout outs and what we're thankful for. So we're gonna start with Niecy tonight. So
okay.
Shout out to everyone who listens online, everyone who's gonna download this episode later at a later date and time. Shout out to everybody who sent in music. I am grateful for my four heathen children, even though they are heathen. They're heathen children.
Wow.
They're bad.
Wow.
But I love my grandkids, but they're bad as hell. Especially the oldest one. I am thankful for it being the end of the day because the day sucked. I'm thankful for Kurt, even though he worked on my mother's freaking nerves. Oh, what else am I thankful for? I'm thankful I have off tomorrow.
Okay.
All right, Carrie, go ahead.
Well, I'm thankful for my mom, my family. I'm definitely thankful for my team, the Carrie's Corner Radio Show team. Today is our producer's birthday. Happy birthday, Paul. I'm definitely thankful for Mr. Cox, my photographer at the radio show, for Andre Jones, for my superstar assistant, Kevon Merrill. I'm thankful for my friends, the real ones. I'm definitely thankful for the ability to, you know, be able to support myself doing what I love. The radio show, the magazine, the TV show, et cetera. And I'm also thankful that I had the opportunity to meet you too. Curtis, I think you're a phenomenal person. Definitely a blessing to have had the opportunity to meet you, hang out with you, have you co-host the show, have you as a guest on the TV show. And I look forward to, you know, watching you shine and blossom. Niecy, I look forward to being among the first people to read your book when it comes out. And damn it, I'm thankful for Gilbin's, the best sandwich shop in Philadelphia, Stinson Avenue and Washington Lane.
No, man.
You asked. Wait a minute. I'm sorry, Curtis. You asked me what I was thankful for. I'm thankful for Gilbin's. Shout out to Max's, but I'm thankful for Gilbin's. I'm thankful for Gilbin's because now I don't have to go to Max's no more.
Be nice to people, but the food is not better.
How would you know? You've never been to Gilbin's.
Because it's Max's.
Okay. I was always a Max's supporter until I went to Gilbin's. So I definitely can respect that. I would have punched somebody out over Max's, so I get it. But one thing I also am thankful for is that Gilbin's is not near Germantown Avenue. And we don't have to have that conversation on the show. Let's just say I'm thankful I don't have to go nowhere near Germantown Avenue and whatever
Broad.
That is.
Broad and Erie.
Yeah, well,
yeah, it's like
one street in particular, I just can't think of the name of it right now, but thank God.
Erie?
Oh, Brunner. Yes, Brunner. Thank God I don't have to go near there anymore and have flashbacks of having my heart broke in 97. God, Kerry, get over it.
Heartbroken.
That's what I'm thankful for. Oh, shout outs, you said, right?
Yeah.
Shout out to the artists whose music you played today. All of their songs were dope, and I enjoyed listening. And shout out to Janet Jackson.
Shout out to Janet. All right, so I'm gonna start out with my shout out. Shout outs to every artist that sends their music into Behind the Scenes Radio. If you want your music sent into Behind the Scenes Music, Behind the Scenes, and I said it didn't come out right. If you want your music played on Behind the Scenes Music, make sure it's not coming out right. Make sure that you send your music to BHINDTHESCENAIRPLAY. That is Behind the Scene Airplay at gmail.com. We don't take nothing else but MP3. Blog Talk just won't allow us to do it. I don't know why, but they won't. So we ain't taking nothing.
We ain't got time to be transferring nothing to MP3.
So
right, exactly.
We only take MP3. So we only take MP3. Make sure that you right. So make sure that you send not only your music, but make sure that you send all by. Make sure you send all of your social media information. If we can't find you, we can't. Don't send your music. Period. So shout out to the artists. Shout outs to my mom and my dad. Shout outs to my two sons, Tristan and Logan. Daddy, love y'all. Shout outs to their mother. Even though y'all get on my nerves, I still love y'all because y'all take care of my sons and y'all push them out. Shout outs to my hometown. We in there, bitch. Kansas City Chiefs. You already know. We going back to the Super Bowl, and we winning. I'm putting $100 on it. I'm betting this year. I'm putting some money on it. What about it, Kerry? You want to bet me?
I'm not into football. I don't do the NFL until they take Colin Kaepernick back. F the NFL. So I don't have an opinion. Sorry.
All right. Yeah, he don't even want to come. He shouldn't come back. Anyway, that's a whole nother. Whole nother show, whole nother topic.
right.
It is. That's a whole nother show, whole nother topic. Shout outs to my hometown, man. Shout outs to Philly. Shout outs to everybody that will download this, everybody that listen, everybody in all 32 countries and the other countries that we expand into on Blog Talk.
Nice.
Shout outs to Blog Radio. Without Blog Talk Radio, we wouldn't be able to do what we're doing tonight and whenever we do it and for however long we're going to do it. But eventually we're going to break off from Blog Talk. We don't have a home. But for right now, shout out to Blog Talk Radio, man. We've been doing it now for 9.5 years. It'll be 10 years. My birthday, March 25th. Yo, Kerry, we got to do something for our birthdays, man. What's up?
Yeah, sorry, brother. I have plans that don't include you this year. I'll be in Hawaii with my mother.
Oh. Yo, listen, you know what?
I'll bring you back some sand, although I don't think that I could even do that. But a postcard, how about that?
That sounds good. That sounds real nice. Postcard. Get that way. In your way. Shout outs to everybody, man. I'm thankful for Niecy. I'm thankful for you coming on to the show and giving me an opportunity to be able to tell my story and just be who I am. And you've never shunned me, and you just said, be you and be great, Curtis. And I needed that. I needed that encouragement. So I get that encouragement, but I needed that from Kerry. I needed that for some. The radio guy sent Kerry to me and said, Kerry, tell Curtis he need that, and that's what it was. And that's how it happened.
Did you say the radio god?
The radio god. You don't know about the radio god?
No. I never met him.
I haven't even. You know, there's a whole bunch of different gods. You know, people believe in a whole bunch of different stuff.
Oh.
And it's the radio god. I'm just making fun. Just playing around. Anyway, so shout outs to everybody, man. I love everybody. Behind the scenes radio, be looking out for. Oh, Kerry, give him your information. Give him all your information, how to get a hold of you.
Oh, I guess my email is probably the best way. I mean, the GothamSoldier@gmail.com. So it's GothamSoldier@gmail.com, or if it's related to the radio show, the KKRadioShow@gmail.com. Oh, and shout out to one more shout out. I'm sorry, I meant to say this and I and lost my place. But I have a meeting with 95.3 Jams out of Houston on Thursday, and hopefully the radio gods will bless me because they want to add us to their network. That'll be our ninth network down in Houston, and that would be pretty dope since I used to live there. So I look forward to that meeting with Peter Allen at 95.3 Jams in Houston. Let's make some things happen. And yes, Curtis, we will wait for you to return to New York. And bless us with your presence, brother.
I'm coming back. You know I'm coming back. I'm coming back. Yo, so
invitation
so
open.
Thank you. I love New York, man. I love y'all, man. Y'all showed me love. I'm gonna come back and really have fun and like really enjoy New York and come back and visit y'all, man. I got to, man. Y'all was the first place to embrace me in New York, so I always gotta show love to y'all because y'all was the first.
Yep.
You know what I mean?
We'll make sure we take you and Niecy on a nice subway tour.
No! I just left the Uber cab. New York can kiss ass and kick rocks.
Take
I'm
you
not doing
all,
it again.
All 26 subway lines, all 468 stations.
So, how did I go to say L to the Nah?
And we're going to get back on the escalator.
Yeah.
And the steep ass escalator looked like you on the roller coaster.
What did I say? You saw me. I was on it with my eyes closed. Never again.
So we out. The track that we gonna leave out with is Ja. Listen, on Behind the Scenes Radio. Stay tuned in. We on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, Google us Behind the Scenes Radio, BHINDTHESCEN. Y'all know what it is. We out this piece, man. Love, grease, hair. Man, y'all know what it is. We out. Peace.
Have a good night.
I'm tired of the 9-to-5 shit. I just want to make it out and make a profit. If I had $1 million, I would fix the project. Turn all of my people into bosses. We don't need that many liquor. Souls on the flossing. Take your Mickey D's, making all of us sick. Take your cookie bastards in the churches. We don't gotta pay tithes if you got servants. Please take all the shooters. We scared to go die cause we think it's shooters. I'm tired of the drama and all our bitches. It's running through my mind, yeah, I gotta do something. living like this.